Well, hi. How are you? Good, doing well. Hey, we have some visitors here. Look at that. Lisa Finchel, how are you? Garrett, Lynette, welcome. How are you doing? Good to have you guys here. I assume you're on your way to camp. So my wife and I as well will be heading down Friday to camp, so we will not be here next week or the following week. And a number of us are heading down to summer camp in Camp Davidson, so we'll be out for a couple more weeks, and we'll be back later on after that. Just one announcement on that. We did have a Bible study that was scheduled for not this week, but the following week at our house, and we will have to postpone that for a couple of weeks. So instead of the Bible study on August 10th, we will cancel that one, and we will have it on August 24th. 2 weeks later, just as a heads up. Forgot to mention that this week at the Bible study. Speaking of which, we are in our Bible studies going through James, and we're having some very interesting discussions, and part of that discussion that we're having is on James chapter 3, and so that is actually my text for today, is going to be James chapter 3. In fact, I'm going to cover basically a few scriptures there, but before I do that, let me ask you a couple questions. Now, this study came from, or this sermon came from, part of our Bible study that we're having, but I also had a request from one of the teens in our church to give a topic on gossip. And it so happened that we were covering the subject of the tongue in our Bible study, so I thought that was a very clear indication of what to speak on this week. So, therefore, I am speaking on that this week. I also got some more advice from my son, David. He suggested in the car on the way here that I speak in English. So I thought that was very good advice. And I think he meant that as opposed to speaking in whale. So if you've ever seen Finding Nemo, you'll know what that means. But if you haven't, you'll just look at me like I'm funny. Okay. Let me ask you a couple questions first before I start. What if you are on a train? This is actually a true story, but just put yourself in the place here. You're on a train with a friend, and you saw a man get on with three little kids. And these three little kids were acting all incredibly wild, jumping all over the place, climbing up and down on the seats and the railing and everything else. And he was just sitting there, not doing a thing about it. Now, let me ask you this question. If you and your friend saw this, and nobody would hear anything that you exchanged between the two of you, you think it's all right to say something or to pass a judgment or to say, you know, this man just really doesn't know how to raise his kids. His kids are wild and out of control. Do you think that that causes any harm if you just whisper something to your friend about that man? Another question. Wouldn't it be nice to have the gift of healing? You know, I think a lot of time we talk about, you know, needing healing in the church or needing to be healed. And wouldn't it be great if God gave out the gift of healing to us? Wouldn't that be a fantastic gift to have? And a third question, maybe seems unrelated. What if you have bitterness or anger or other things in your heart that are kind of left over there? How can you begin to get rid of that in your heart? Now, I ask these three questions, and they may seem like they're completely have no relation to each other. But when I go through the sermon today, I'd like to actually show you how those three questions are very much related to the topic that I want to talk about today. Those three questions and the answer to them are and have to do with the tongue, believe it or not. Now, let me understand and let's go through in detail exactly the answer to what I was saying there. Is it okay to say something by yourself? What about the gift of healing? And how do you begin to get rid of bitterness and anger and other things that could be in your heart from things? So let's turn over to James 3 and begin there. James 3. And part of what we went over in the Bible study this week is we went through verses 5 through 6. And this entire chapter has a lot to do with the tongue, and we're not going to be able to go through the entire chapter because it would take quite a long time. But I'm going to focus in on just basically these two scriptures and show you that what a lot of information is in these two scriptures here. James 3, verses 5 through 6, says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Now, at first, you know, it almost sounds like this is just kind of poetic, kind of flowery language. You know, James is giving a bunch of descriptions about the tongue. But when you start to dig into this, he's actually saying a lot more in here that is very important to understand about the tongue. Now, you've probably heard a lot of different discussions about the tongue or messages, but I'd like to bring out basically just a few different things that I think that we can gather from this that are very key and very important. And they are very actually life-changing. They're very life-altering when you begin to understand these things. Now, this verse right here, that flowery language that is there, is actually a good summary of this entire chapter. So there's different key phrases that are said in there, such as the tongue is a fire, it's a world of iniquity. It's set among our members that it defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Those things, those phrases, which we will actually step through now and break down, describe and are summarize what is in the rest of the entire chapter of James there. And it brings out a lot of things. So you can almost think of this verse, if you want to picture it, as kind of like an octopus. This is an octopus verse. It has its tentacles that are reaching out, and one of those phrases is going to reach out and grab a few verses that are at the top. Another one's going to grab a few verses that are at the end. But this one chapter anchors and reaches out and kind of is threaded throughout this entire chapter, and the chapter explains what this verse means. So let's take each one of these statements here, and I'm going to focus mainly today on a couple of them just for time's sake, but you can actually study and go through all of them in depth, but let me just touch on a couple and then go in depth on a couple of them. Now, the first statement that's made there is that the tongue is a fire. Now, if you think about the metaphor that James could have picked, he could have picked a lot, couldn't he have? He could have said, for example, if he's talking about forest fire or a fire in a tree, he could have used the example of an axe. He could have said, your tongue is like an axe. You know, there's a tree and I'm chopping. You're a tree and I'm chopping down or making dents into that tree. But he didn't. He used a metaphor that is one that expands beyond that. He used the metaphor of fire. And if you think about it, and if you look at the previous verse, it says, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. Is an appropriate analogy for what the tongue can stir up. Because it's not necessarily just what you say to one person, but where that can spread to, or how far that can spread to, or how big that can get. And we'll see an example of that later. So the first thing to understand here is that the tongue has a huge potential to spread far, fast, wide, and burn a huge path behind it. It's not just what you say to the one person, but what gets multiplied past that and out from there onto other folks is really what James is saying by this. Now, if you also think about the analogy of a fire as well, and a match or a spark, that match and that spark that starts the fire also gets consumed in that fire. It's not preserved from that. If you think about that, when something that starts the actual forest fire also gets consumed or eaten up as well. So when you start to look at the idea of a fire and what the tongue can cause, James meant all of these things when he's talking about that. It's not just an isolated incident, but it's something that can spread far and wide and do incredibly large damage. Now, what about the second phrase there? It's a world of iniquity. And if you look at the Greek behind that, scholars aren't really clear on where the comma goes in that phrase. So the New King James Version says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, period. The tongue is so set among our members, whereas there could be a comma that comes after a world of iniquity. So some scholars say that should be a period, and some say it should be a comma. So for example, if you read the same phrase that's in the NIV version, it reads a little bit differently. It says, the tongue is also fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. Okay? And you know what? Pretty much it doesn't matter how that's translated, but it's the same type of a concept that is brought across here, that it is a world of iniquity, so set among our members, or it's so set among our members that it defiles. It is really the same intent that is being said here. And when the phrase here is a world of iniquity, if you think about that, is that it's talking really about the potential, or it's its own type of a system that can take on many forms. So it's a speech that can take many forms, And a lot of different ways it can be described kind of as a world, or he's using the language of it's like a world of iniquity, so a whole system. In other words, there's the potential there, in your words, for a lot of different ways that they can come out, a lot of different ways speech can come out that can be impure or pure. In other words, there's a whole world of words and things that can be said here. So again, this is also referring back to the potential harm that the tongue can do there. Right, there's a great potential harm that can be done there. Now, it's described as a world of evil. Now, James may be, and this may sound a little bit negative, but James is very much putting out statements that are a very harsh rebuke. We can a lot of times dance around the tongue. We can a lot of times, you know, sugarcoat it and say, well, it's just nice to be positive, or it's nice to be this. James is dissecting the concept of how we use our tongues and is putting out a stinging rebuke. There is no room left to wiggle in this. And it's not meant to be just overdramatic. I think sometimes we underestimate what our tongues can put out, or what damage, or what things that we can do with our very tongues. And James is bringing this out. So therefore, I think it's very important that we stop and we think about exactly what James is saying here. Maybe take it to heart a little bit more than we have in the past, and take a new look at what he's trying to put across here. And so the first two phrases really have to do with there is great potential to wreak havoc with the tongue. It's like a fire. There's a lot of phrases and things that can be said that are wrapped up into this. It's described as a world of iniquity. The potential for a lot of different types of sins are in the tongue itself. Now, let's go on to the next two phrases, because I'd like to dwell a little bit more time in these two phrases. And I didn't actually see these before, but they made a lot more sense once we started to discuss them in our Bible study. And when you really study this, it's very interesting what it's saying. The next phrase is saying it defiles the whole body. Now, if you look at that phrase and other phrases like this in James, a lot of times these can have dual meanings. So if I were to ask you, what does it mean by the body here? You know, what would your answer be? And a lot of what James puts out, as far as when referring to something, can have a dual meaning. So in this, it can refer to two things. It can refer to your body, you. It can also be a reference to the larger body of individuals that you're around or with. And if we apply it to that kind of language to where we are right now, that would mean the church, or the body, the members of the church. So the tongue itself, it says, can defile the body. And I think we've probably heard that said in the past, that what you say you can affect and you can defile, you can cause problems inside of the church or the body of Christ. But when you look at this phrase too, I think we'll find that there's an alternate meaning here that's very important to understand, and I'd like to focus on the other meaning of it, where he talks about defiling your own body. Not necessarily the body of the church. A lot can be said about that, but your own body. And if you read some of the different commentaries, they'll actually say that James seems to be using this phrase, it defiles the whole body, in the Jewish sense of the phrase that was used in the day, which seems to be used to refer to the person who is speaking the words. So they would say that what James is really referring to is that when it says it defiles the body, it's defiling the body of the speaker, the one who is speaking the words. Now, this is a very interesting concept, because a lot of times I think we could probably say, well, I just rattled off some words. Nobody was there to hear that, or I just said it to my friend who's going to keep it a secret. You know, and it didn't really matter, because I didn't hurt anybody. I wasn't saying anything harmful to somebody else. What James is pointing out here in saying is that is not the case. Because maybe the person you're saying about it never hears it in their entire life, that doesn't mean somebody didn't have damage done to them. And James is saying that that damage is done to the person speaking those words. In other words, even if it's in privacy and nobody ever finds it, there is damage done to the person who is speaking the words. Now, you can see this linked down to verses 9 through 12 in James. James 3, verses 9 through 12. If you see that phrase there, immediately link it down to the bottom, because it begins to expand on the concept that's brought out here. It says in verse 9, you know, with our tongue it's talking about, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or can a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and fresh water. Now, what James is expounding on that, and he's using some examples that occur in nature that are impossible, are things that just don't happen. You know, there isn't a spring that springs forth fresh and bitter from the same thing. A fig tree doesn't bear olives. And what he's pointing out is that if you take this concept of blessing God, praying to God and saying, you know, please help, but yet going and maybe being angry or cursing your brother, it's the same thing as seeing this unnatural act in nature, to see a fig tree that has olives on it. You just don't see that. It's not saying, oh, we shouldn't do this because it's, you know, weird. He's just saying this ought not to be. It's an unnatural, it's not correct. To fully understand what James is talking about on the tongue, you have to realize and say that if I am talking about other people, I need to start to view that like James says here. This should never be the case. This ought not to be or should never be the case. And in the example that's put forth here, what you see is that the item is mixed or it's cloudy. Like it says, the spring, you know, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. It's a mixture. It is, would be polluted or perverted or not correct in that case. So the analogy, when you apply that back to this verse, is saying that when your speech is impure towards others, you are the one who's polluted. It's as if you are a salt water, fresh water mixture, you know, fig tree bearing olives, that you are the one who is clouded and cloudy. So to start to get that in our minds, it's very important to understand that even idle words that we speak about other people, even though they may not hear them, does damage to ourselves. And it is as if we are now a cloudy, mixed, not clear, impure person. And that is what results from this type of a speech. If you turn over to Matthew 12:33, Christ says this another way. Christ says the same thing. And in fact, there's a lot of what Christ talked about that is about the tongue in your speech that is related to this topic, but we'll find that Christ said the same thing here. In Matthew 12, verse 33, he said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Right? He's saying the same thing in different words. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Right? And for every word that men say, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So Christ is saying and repeating the same concept that is said here and using part of the same analogy. Either make a tree and its fruit good, or else make it bad. Now, a lot of times we'll just look at this and say, look, you know, it comes from the heart, so I'm just speaking what's in my heart. And that is true. But let me offer you a different viewpoint in a second on that as well, because I think the reverse is true. And I think James is also saying that the reverse is true. Christ here is saying that you have to make it one way or the other. Now, what's important to understand and to do here is a lot of times when we are saying things, it's important that we just not say them. I think a lot of times we want to say, well, we're just expressing ourselves, or, you know, I'm just frustrated, or it's this type of thing. Important thing to do when you find yourself, you know, just expressing or saying things, you know, is to bite your tongue. But what Christ is saying then is to then find out why you're biting your tongue. Okay? First bite your tongue, but Christ is saying, you know, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is speaking. So bite your tongue, yes, and find out why you have to bite your tongue. Anybody know the technical name for where the tongue joins at the back of your mouth? Anybody know the scientific name for that? A little trivia for you. It's called the heart. That's actually a bad joke, but that's It's called the heart. And if you think about it, your tongue is a direct extension, will go all the way down and is connected to your heart. Think of it literally like that. Your tongue doesn't stop right here. It goes all the way down to the bottom of where your heart is. Now, a lot of times we'll say, well, I just have to cure my heart and my tongue will clear up. That is true. But what I'd like to put forward to you today is that James and Christ are also saying it the reverse. If you want to start to work on what is in your heart and start to heal that or start to help that, you start with the tongue. Those two are connected. Right? A lot of times we'll spew things out and we'll say, well, that's just, I'm frustrated in the heart. I need to work that out. But you know what? I've always looked at it that way. But after studying this a little bit more, I also think that James and Christ are saying the opposite as well. That, and it's an important thing to try. If it's something that you always feel bitter towards, maybe it's because your words are always just bitter in the way you're looking at everything and saying phrases into people is always the same thing. And it's kind of a cyclical thing. So if you want to start to help that heart and what's in there, try a few words a different way. Instead of just the same way coming out, James and Christ here are saying, start to speak differently as well. Start to say things differently and phrase them differently. Now, healing can happen. Now, James brings this out in a different way. He says, if a man does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. And if you think about that phrase, when you're able to start to control your tongue, he's saying that you can also start to control other parts of your body. You can start to control the passions and the things that are in our bodies by being able to control the tongue. So if you want to start to heal those things that are deep inside of you, try starting to change your phrasing. I know it sounds funny, and I'm not one of those, positive, just be a positive speaker type, people that are out there that write these books, but I think this is a very important thing to do. Looking at things realistically is an important thing. But you know what? Starting to talk in a more forward-looking way versus a very negative way is a key difference or a key kind of fork in the road that you can go. And James is starting to bring this out, that if you start to control and talk a certain way, this will affect your life. And I'll show you that in just a second. Now, this kind of hit home to me. Growing up, for a number of different reasons I won't get into, and they're not even important, but I was a very shy person, and we moved around a lot. And so I ended up to a place where, at least in school and other things, I felt very defenseless. Like, people would say things to me, and I would kind of, freeze up. I have, couldn't say anything back. And so for a long time there, I felt like, I had no defenses. I couldn't say anything. Now, when I got older, though, I started to, develop more of a quick wit and a tongue. And I think it was more, it's more of a defensive mechanism. I used to pride myself on to be able to go in and say, okay, this person wants to kind of spar, let me spar verbally, even if it's a girl, I'll spar, let's go. And so we would go at it, and I'd be quick and choo-choo-choo, I could say all these things, and yeah, they're hilarious, but you know what? They were also hurtful, right? It was very hurtful things that were coming, out of my mouth. And I realized that, maybe my heart was a little bit bitter or bound up from all the past, but let me just change my speech. Let me stop. Let me change my speech. And instead of saying that quick thing that comes out of the mouth, let me say something else. It doesn't have to be fake or phony, but let me just say it a different way and just say something a little bit more positive. You know what? That's actually helped a lot. That's helped a whole lot. Not just now actually people want to talk to me, but for my own heart, well, a couple people want to talk to me, but I don't want to overstate that. But, it's actually helped my own heart, right? And I find I'm more relaxed about things, not as defensive, et cetera. And my point in this, and I think an important thing to understand here that James is saying, is that it's both ways. It's not just that everything in your heart just comes out. It's also saying start with your tongue, because that tongue also contributes to that and can defile the person. A very interesting, different way to look at that, but I think it's important to understand that. So if you want to start the healing on those things, then start with your tongue. Just try it. Try it differently. And Christ said it was said of Christ that he had no guile. Right? His tongue wasn't forked. There was no deceit. There was no mixed language. He was very pure in what he said. Christ is our example in that. He's very pure in what he said and who he said it to. So let's go back to James 3 and look at the second phrase there. James 3, the second part of this phrase. It says it sets on fire the course of nature in verse 6 there. It sets on fire the course of nature. So it defiles the whole body, your body, and it sets on fire the course of nature. Now what does that mean? The phrase there, if you look at it, used historically and kind of in regular literature of the day, really referred to the way it was used in secular literature, was referring to more kind of reincarnation, the circle of life. You know, if you ever saw The Lion King, the circle of life and rebirth and those type of things. But James is not using it in that sense. He doesn't believe in reincarnation. What James is talking about, he's using it in the metaphorical sense of talking about your birth and the path and the direction of your entire life. Think of that, the course your life takes. Let me just say it that way. That phrase, sets on fire the course of nature, is talking about the course of your life, the direction of your life. So number one, we have, it defiles a person. Number two is, your tongue can set the direction and the course of your life. That is not an insignificant statement. If you want to direct your life, and the direction that your life takes has to do with your tongue. True or not? Let's look at James 3. Let's go back up to verse 2 to 4. Again, this links back up to the rest of the chapter. It says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." Now, the pictures that are used there are a bridle in a horse's mouth and a rudder. And if you think about those two analogies are all about direction and steering, aren't they? You can direct a horse with the bridle. You can direct a huge ship with a little tiny rudder. So that matches exactly with what James is saying here, is that the course of your life can be set and directed by the use of your tongue. Okay? You have to think about that one for a while, because that is significant. This is not an insignificant statement that is being said here. A ship, its direction can be changed and its course can be altered by its tongue there. Proverbs says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Whose death and whose life are in the power of the tongue? Yes, you can say things about other people, but you know what? Your life is in the power of your tongue. It is wrapped up in that. Let me ask you this question. Can your speech really alter the course of your life? Do you believe that or not? Can it alter it or not? And I'm not just talking about being able to speak in public or something like that, but your speech day to day, how you react and how you talk about things, can that alter your life or not? Turn back to Numbers 13:26. Numbers 13:26. Very interesting example. Imagine two people going along, encountering the same situation, and one goes on to life and one goes on to death. Over what? Words that were spoken. Is that true or not? Let's read this. Very interesting example. It says, Numbers 13, verse 26, and going on to chapter 14 as well. It says, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and the congregation of the children of Israel. They went in to spy out the land." This is the example of the spies. "And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They told them and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit.'" Right? And so they said, "Look, hey, this is great. There's some huge, you know, stuff here. This is fantastic." But it said, "Nevertheless, the people who dwelt in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Well, hang on a second. Let's go up at once and take possession, for we were able to overcome this. Yes, there's big people, but with God's power, we can overcome this. These are two different sets of words, are they not? These are two different sets of words. They both encountered the same thing, and maybe even Caleb was scared in his heart, but you know what he spoke to people? He didn't say, oh, this is overwhelming. He said, look, we are able with God to take this. Let's go. But the men who had gone up with him in verse 31 said, we are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone, you know, as spies in the land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature, because they saw giants there. What happened in chapter 14? This little fire was lit, wasn't it? And it wasn't just an axe on the tree of somebody. It was a fire that got kindled. And it said, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said, if we only had died in the land of Egypt. You know what? They didn't go in. They didn't go in. Isn't that amazing? What was the difference at this decision point right here? Was the words that were spoken. Two of the spies gave a report and relied on the power of God. The other 10 said, oh, it's too big, it's too hard. And you know what? It lit a fire that went through their whole body of the people and burned it up. They didn't go in. Let me ask you again, can the words you use alter the course of your life or not? James says it can set in motion and sets the course of your life, and the Old Testament repeats that. Their direction was devastated. Their direction was devastated. Now, I'm not proposing we just go around Pollyannically and say, oh, everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be okay, because that's not what I'm talking about here. Caleb and them, they all saw the great people, but you know what? They had vision. They had vision and belief in God and said, you know what? They may be big, but let's go up and take them. With God's power, we can. There was a complete difference in that. It recognized the reality, and it had a vision, was forward moving. You know what? That is the kind of language we need more of. We need more vision language. We need more language that has vision in it, that can look at somebody that you may think is unruly and say, you know what? I really appreciate the strength that you carry inside of you. I think that you're going to do great things when you get older. Versus, you know, why are you always cranky? There's a difference, isn't there? Well, I'm not saying gloss over everything, but I'm saying why can't we have bigger vision that really can see past what you see in front of you and speak that to people? That's what's needed. And you know what? That would make the difference there with ancient Israel. That was what's going to make a difference with us as a church and us as a people with each other, is we need more talk like that. We need more vision talk. So let me ask you again, can your words alter the course of your life? James says they can alter the entire course of your life. Have you ever seen people that can never get past and never get unstuck? You know, try starting with the language and the tongue. Just try it. Just try, force yourself, try to change it. And what you'll find is it goes around in a circle, that what's inside will start to get better. Your language will start to clear up, and the whole package starts to go a different direction. It is a true statement, and this is what James is bringing out. So I'll skip the last phrase, is set on fire by hell, because you could have an entire sermon on that, and there is a lot to be said there. But there's a progression that's spelled out in this verse. You know, the first phrase points to the fire, the multitude of evils. The second warns that you become corrupt. The third phrase says it corrupts the course of a person's life. And the fourth phrase says that it can be set on fire by Satan or by hell as well. And I like the way the NIV version puts this, because it phrases it a little bit differently. It says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. So it's just an alternate translation, but kind of wraps that up. And to conclude this Let me just quote you a couple of scriptures. You don't turn there. But let me give you a view from Proverbs and to think about these. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, always cutting. But the tongue of the wise promotes health." Okay? True or not? True. Incredibly true. Proverbs 12:25, "Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." Again, we have healing going on. Proverbs 15:4, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life." A tree of life. "But perverseness in it breaks the spirit." In Proverbs 15:23, "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. So back to the three questions at the beginning. You're on a train, a man gets in with his kids, and they're climbing all over the place. Is it okay if you just say something to your friend? Let me ask you that again. It is not okay because you are the one who gets corrupted by your speech, even if they never hear it. But two, what if you were to ask that man, and this is a true story, the man who got on the train says, "I'm sorry, I just came from the hospital. My wife died. And I don't think my kids, know what to do with that." Right? Would you ever have discovered that? If you just said something to your friend and stopped? And then let me ask you again. Wouldn't it be nice to have the gift of healing? Your tongue can be a tree of life and a gift of healing. We talk about physical healing, but I see a lot more of the other that needs to take place with people. And your tongue can be that. And lastly, how do you start to get rid of the bitterness and anger and those things that are inside of you? Again, at the beginning, those three things may seem like unrelated statements, but let me tell you again, all of these things have to do with your tongue. So let your speech always be with grace and seasoned with salt.